better together. And better together comes out of this self-discovery that myself and the pastor's council did a few months back, trying to figure out what our values are as a church. And from our values, we kind of determined what our vision and our mission was. It wasn't a big adjustment, but just a slight tweak so that we can kind of come more in alignment with who God has called us to be as one church. And so a couple of weeks ago, we talked about faith and how we have a relationship with God, and that is the most important relationship that we have. Last week, online community, I'm sorry you missed out, we had our family service out at Cameron's, and it was awesome. I think Paul and Maureen deserve a big round of applause for that, because it was a lot of fun. You know the kids are having fun when the bouncers are there and they don't even ask for them. So that was a big win in and of itself. The guys had a lot of fun with the games Paul had planned for us. Everyone had fun laughing at the guys as we played all of our games. I think if we hadn't duped Lynn, he'd still be holding that piece of wood. Like, he was unmovable in that game. It was crazy. So, you know, but we have to do what we have to do to win what we, when we can win. So, I didn't win, just so we're clear. All of my banter and everything was for naught. I still came up dry. So we had a lot of fun last week, and we want to keep doing those things because we value family. We value that time together, especially in a day where family and all of that dynamic and those relationships are under attack and stress and being minimized. This morning, we are going to look at the local church and what Scripture says about how important the local church is, both for us as relational beings, for our faith. And so this is going to tee off into what we want to talk about with the Ministry Expo. We're going to look at some scriptures. I'm going to share with you some thoughts to kind of get our gears grinding and thinking. And my hope is that you're encouraged. Online community, this is especially for you because there is this really applies to you if you're not coming out to us, coming out in person on a regular basis. I really want you to hear what I have to say because it's important. I don't want you to miss it. So, with all that said, we are in Acts chapter 2. Don't bother turning there in your physical Bibles. I'm going to be bouncing around a lot. You can go to 1 Corinthians 12 if that's what you want to. If you have your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read a few scriptures to lead up to that. But Acts chapter 2, Jesus has just ascended into heaven, and we have what we call the Pentecost moment. The believers are all gathered in one room. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, gives them the spiritual gift of tongues. And as they speak in tongues, there's people from all different nations hear the gospel message preached to them in their own native tongue. And as a result of what is happening, we read that 3,000 people give their lives, commit to following Jesus all the days of their life because of this great miraculous moment that is shared in Jerusalem. And right after, this is the first description of the early church. This is what Luke, the author of Acts, tells us the early church valued. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." So the big one I want you to see, I'm going to highlight it because I can do such things. Fellowship, that one right there. Oh, good, that works really well. Never mind, we're not going to play with that toy. Devoted themselves to fellowship because they wanted to be together. They had this newfound community, they had this newfound faith, and they just wanted to be together because they were learning together, they were exploring together, they wanted to just feed off of each other, be sharpened. As the Old Testament says, iron sharpens iron. They wanted this fellowship. And as we read through Acts, we read time and time again, they would highlight all these different local communities. And what kept coming up time and time again was they just loved being together. And we're seeing another example of it in Acts. But then once we get to the end of Acts, then we read it, get into the New Testament. And literally, other than maybe Revelation, every single book we read in the New Testament is a letter from Paul or Peter or James or John to a specific body of believers, to a local church, addressing different things. Other than Romans, every time Paul wrote a letter, he had planted that church, he had knew everyone by name, and he's no doubt picturing what they were going through, who they were, where they were when he last saw them. It wasn't this blanket letter for some universal church, but it was this very specific, okay, I got so-and-so in mind. And we read in Corinthians, and we read in all these different letters, he's addressing specific situations, saying this needs to be different because you're the people of God, you need to be exceptional. Did he say things that apply to the whole church? Absolutely he did. But every single letter was written with a specific group in mind. And by the time we get to Hebrews, we read this. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us not neglect meeting together. I really want this to sink in. And the reason I want to park there for just a moment is because there's two ideas that have kind of become prevalent in our modern society that the New Testament authors had no concept of. They wouldn't have even entertained these ideas. The first one that they wouldn't have entertained was this idea that I don't need the local church because I can, it's my own personal faith. It's true, you do have a personal faith. You do have a personal relationship with Christ, and he speaks to you and he encourages you, and we do need to practice certain disciplines. We need to grow in that. But for the biblical authors and for today, I would say that it is impossible to have a healthy, flourishing faith without the local church, because the church provides something that we can't get by ourselves. And thanks to COVID and thanks to technology and thanks to the ready available of so many preachers and pastors and everything that's going on, it's so easy to say, well, I can consume all this stuff, I'm good. And the biblical account says, no, 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 no. You really want to grow in your faith? You really want to grow in your relationship with God? It requires you being around God's people. And that's a big one for our online community. If you're not plugged into a local church, you really need to be, because there's something that you get here you can't get anywhere else. And to try as we might to create an online community that feels local, we just can't do it. There's something that you will always be missing if you're not gathering here. The other thing that the New Testament authors probably didn't have any concept was, it was this idea of the universal church. Well, I don't need to get plugged into the local church because I'm part of this universal church. Well, we read through the biblical account, there's all this teaching about structure and authority and accountability and serving and loving one another. And once again, you get this idea of the universal church. There's no structure. There's no accountability. There's no leadership. There's no serving. There's nothing. Did they understand that every single church in the world was connected by the Holy Spirit? Absolutely they did. But this idea that I don't need to get plugged in, that would have been completely foreign to them. And again, I would say that this is one of those lies that we get bought into at times, that, well, I don't need the local church because it's full of imperfect people, I'm just going to stay away. Well, newsflash, we're all imperfect. You find a church that's full of perfect people, stay away, because you'll wreck the rhythm of it. We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all drop the ball. We all have personality issues. You know, like we need to. And that's part of the reason we need the local church, because we refine each other. We work out those imperfections. God uses the people who frustrate you the most to work out those imperfections the most. Those people that you're like, I really don't want to see them today. They're the ones God's probably using. Nobody likes the chisel, but we all need it. We all need that refining. We all need the local church to grow and become all that we need to be. So with that, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. If you've grown up in church, you've spent any amount of time around the church, you've heard this preached a lot. And you've heard it preached in this scenario a lot. I get it. I'm probably not going to say anything new. If you're new to church, this is all new information. You're welcome. But my prayer is that as we read through this and we dive into it and we unpack it a little bit, that the Holy Spirit may stir something new in you, but more importantly, would stir you to action. So with that, 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, where would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. You getting the idea? There's one, okay. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. I want you to hear that again. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, and while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So, a couple major things. This analogy of the body is so good because, you know, we kind of see our bodies regularly. We see other bodies regularly. And we see all these different parts in action as we do different things, right? Especially for me, as I'm speaking, I get my hands going because I'm a hand speaker. And, right? Even though it's not necessary, that's part of it, okay? Don't judge me. But we have all these parts. We have all, and it all works together. And so, Scripture says this. Number one, the big thing that I want you to see out of this analogy, one body. And what it just says, all of the parts, my foot, my toes, my knees, everything is necessary for me to move in one direction. All parts are necessary for the church to move in the direction that it needs to be, but it needs to be working in perfect unity. Ephesians 4, 2-6 says, always be humble and gentle, patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. You know, one of the things you pick up very quickly in the New Testament is that the authors are very tough on those who cause division. Why? Because the body doesn't work if it's divided. The hand doesn't work if it gets cut off. I don't know if you know this. You know, anyways, I'm not getting into that. Right? The parts get separated. The foot comes off. It doesn't keep functioning as a foot. It needs the whole body. And the body needs the foot. There needs to be unity. And so if you cause division through things like, oh, I don't know, gossip, then that's why God says a gossiping tongue is one of the things he hates, because it causes division, it causes fighting, and that stuff has no place amongst God's holy people. Acts 4:32, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. They're so united that everything they owned wasn't even their own. They held it with an open hand because they wanted to help one another, meet one another's needs. In other parts of Acts, it says nobody had any needs among them because of how generous the early church was. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Unified in thought, in purpose, in direction. But the one thing I want us to remember in all of this is that unity does not mean that we all have to look the same, do the same. Right? Paul is very implicit in this analogy. Yes, there's one body and we are all united in purpose, united in thought, united in direction, but we don't all do the same thing. And to kind of help tee this off and make this really sink in, I have this really interesting story for you. An above ground pool was donated to Applegate Christian Fellowship's mission for handicapped orphans in Mexico. But because it arrived in what seemed to be a million pieces, try as they might, the mission staff was unable to assemble it. It wasn't more than a few days later, however, that the director who runs the mission got a call from a man at Twin Peaks Bible College. I just feel like the Lord would have me come and spend time at your mission, he said. I can't do much. I'm not a Bible teacher. I'm not a children's worker. I'm not a cook. I'm not a gardener, but I just feel like I should come. Pause. What did he do? This person completely disqualifies himself, right? Yes, I feel like God has called me to this. Yes, I feel like I need to come, but I don't have anything to offer you. But I just want to obey. I just want to come. The director says, come on down. By the way, what did you do before you were in Bible school? I spent 20 years installing above ground pools, he said. Within 4 hours of his arrival, the kids were swimming. Right? He didn't have all the typical missionary things. He couldn't teach the Bible. He wasn't a Bible. He didn't cook. He didn't garden. He just had this perception of these were the things that he would need, and because I didn't do them, I wasn't of any value. And little did he know, his experience and his skill set was exactly what that mission needs. And that's exactly what I need you to hear this morning. We can't all be eyes, we can't all be hands, we can't all be feet, but you have a skill set, experience, personality. God has woven you together so perfectly for such a time as this that you have something that the church needs. And maybe I don't know what it is, and maybe you don't know what it is, but it starts with exactly where this guy was. God has told me to come. I don't know what I have to offer, but I'm here. Oh, you install pools. What a coinkydink. Yeah, I'm not going to ask you to preach. I might ask you to sing because, you know, as you could see, we need some more worship people. I'm not doing that. I am not a singer. That's not my part. But the question is, are you willing to be used? Are you willing to just say, Pastor Matt, church leadership, I don't know what I have to offer, but here I am. And the best part about it is that in most things, if you're willing to learn, we're willing to teach you. We're willing to help you grow in it. There's some things that just can't be taught. That's just the reality. But in saying that, there's things that you can do that I can't teach you. And maybe I need to learn from you. Maybe that's what you offer the church. You can offer us the ability to teach. You can teach us something that we didn't know we needed. And that would be awesome. So as we move into this idea of that we're the body and we're a community and we're going to grow in our relationships and we're going to have the best, healthiest relationships and the community is going to see what we got and they're going to want it, this is our mission, that every relationship in your life would be biblically stronger, biblically healthier. And I'm intentionally putting that in because healthy by the world standards doesn't necessarily mean healthy by God's standards. Don't want you to have a healthy family. I want you to have a biblically healthy family because that's a better health. That's an enduring health. I want your marriage to be biblically healthy. I want you to have a biblically healthy relationship with your community and your workplace and the world. And I want you to grow in this health, not just health in general. With that, I'm going to pray to kind of wrap up this portion. I don't want anyone to move. Everyone online, you're invited to stay. We'll continue to stream as we share the expo because who knows, maybe you'll hear something you want to be a part of and we can get you plugged in. But I'm going to pray to wrap up this portion of the service. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that we all are part of the body, and I thank you that we all have a part to play. And God, I thank you for the reminder that yes, there's some parts that are more honorable, and there are some parts that get more attention, but that doesn't actually make them more important. In fact, it is the behind-the-scenes parts that often are just as important, if not more important, to what happens here at the church. And so, God, I pray that you would just stir in us a willingness to serve, a willingness to be used wherever you would have us. Father, give us ears to hear that you would speak to us and lead us and guide us where we need to go to get plugged in where we need to get plugged in and serve where we need to serve. God, we love you. Give you all our praise and thanks. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.